We've got a lot of emails at the start of the show suggesting that when's Phil Moss back from holidays, which I don't know what they were referring.
Well, I did get my family to write in, Jimmy.
How was it? How did you enjoy last week, Mossy?
Mate, the seat was very hot. I felt like the bar was very high, but
good
I think
fun, wasn't it,
we
Phil?
Struggled
yeah,
through, but, you know, Ray was the master. He just guided me, held my hand. But
one team here,
tough
Phil.
Hey, you got.
Absolutely. I've been saying it to Jimmy for 8 years. One team here, mate. So.
Yeah. No, it was good fun.
Why are you winking at Phil?
Because Phil's on the same page.
As I say, when Ray says there's only one team, I just wish I was on it. That's all. Anyway, apparently Liverpool had a win last night.
That's good, guys.
They did, five from five.
Yeah, but lucky for you, Manchester United did as well, Jimmy. So don't worry, we're not out on our own. But look, a intriguing night as always in the EPL. 21 goals in 6 games. Liverpool's perfect start continued. Watford's ended at the hands of Manchester United. Chelsea took top of the table because they had a massive 4-1 win over Cardiff with a Hazard hat trick. But 5 of the big 6 won. Spurs were the losers to Liverpool, as you said. Interesting game, that, Liverpool-Spurs. I thought Liverpool were dominant, if not deadly, and I thought they were classy, if not clinical, if that makes sense. So they had some very good patches of play. They did dominate the game, but they certainly weren't clinical in front of goal. And it took, to be, if we're brutally honest, it took a goalkeeping error from Vorm, who went between the sticks for Lloris, who is out now for indefinitely. They're talking several weeks with a thigh injury, which is going to hurt them with the Champions League starting this week as well. But Liverpool marched on, and they're picking up some points. I thought they were a bit disappointing in the last win over Leicester as well, just before the international break. Last night, certainly a better performance, but they're still not as clinical as you'd like them to be with that top three.
Yeah, Chelsea, very good, as you mentioned, 4-1 against Cardiff. Arsenal, I want to get your opinion. They're starting to build now. A slow start. They've won 3 straight, got away with a 2-1 win at Newcastle overnight.
Yeah, you can certainly see Unai Emery's stamp starting to shine through, if you like, on the way they're playing. And Xhaka and Ozil with the goals last night, both after half time. But you can see the style of football starting to emerge. And they did get off to a rocky start, as we know. But you could see in a couple of those games things starting to click.
Yep.
And now they are on the scoreboard as well. And, you know, there's no doubt that even when they were losing those early season games, there was players coming out saying he's a fantastic coach, fantastic manager. He's got the blueprint for success. We've just got to be patient. And so that you can see the players have bought in from early on.
All right. Wolverhampton and Burnley, Everton and West Ham. West Ham haven't got a point.
Mm.
Yes, and this is an interesting one, Jimmy. Pellegrini, his style of football, is very attacking-minded.
Mm.
He does leave himself short at the back and in what we call rest defence. So when your team's going forward with the ball, what's happening behind it in case, the what-if scenario. And that's not Pellegrini's style. And a lot of people are saying, I mean, the guy won the English Premier League with Manchester City. And interestingly, you've got two coaches, Newcastle as well, with Rafa Benitez. Two coaches who are used to success. Benitez has won the Champions League. Pellegrini's won the Premier League. And they're both right down the bottom of the table. Benitez plays a more defensive style. They're not playing each other. Newcastle lost overnight, obviously, to Arsenal.
Mm.
But Benitez has got a style that's very compact and hits teams on the break, which a lot of people are saying is a lot more... gives his team a lot more chance of staying up in the Premier League than say, a Pellegrini style, where it's very open, very attacking. If he hasn't got the players to do it, there's a lot more risk. He's got a midfield that really isn't the most mobile, with Wilshere and Mark Noble. And that when they try and press, they haven't got that mobility in midfield. So, interesting one. I'm tipping Everton at home at Goodison Park to get the points over West Ham, and that would make it 5 losses from 5 for West Ham.
So what's your multi tonight then?
Yeah, so multi is Wolves into Everton into Southampton, the 3 home teams to get the points, and I think it's paying around about $6.80, $7.
Okay. FFA Cup quarterfinal start this week.
What about this, Ray? We could have 2 absolute superstars of Italian football playing in the quarterfinals of the FFA Cup. You've got Pirlo possibly playing for Avondale, and Francesco Totti maybe turning out for Apia.
Extraordinary.
For one game only. Yeah. And you'll remember a few years ago, Katsaranis played for Heidelberg.
For one match,
the Greek international for one match.
You've clean bowled, Jimmy. He's absolutely pretty flabbergasted.
Cool. I can't believe you didn't know this. Encyclopedia of
Francesco
of sport.
Totti is going to be playing with Apia.
Potentially.
Yeah. It's not over
the
line.
How do they do that? How do they... Where's...
Well, they've made an offer.
Benefactor comes in and says, here, boys.
Give them enough money.
Both clubs have got deep Italian heritage and obviously connections over in Italy. Apia, who play out of Leichhardt, have got an academy that is associated with Roma. And Totti played, 786 games for Roma. Scored 307 goals, 58 caps for Italy. He put the dagger through our hearts in 2006 with that penalty from the Lucas Neal tackle. So, nothing's formalised yet, nothing's confirmed, but offers have been put through from Avondale for Pirlo and from Apia for Totti. Imagine if they both turned out.
What's his number? What's the number? Seriously, what's it take to get in? Yeah. What does it take? It's first-class airfares. You're going to hear... We'll leave you here for an extended holiday. You can come out for
game,
a couple of weeks.
Penthouse of Star Casino.
What would you pay for one game, Phil?
I don't know how you put a value on that. I mean, you know, if I cast my mind back to the old NSL, we had a player called Nicola Berti who was on about $10,000 a game. And the FFA Cup is the closest thing to the old NSL because it's connecting old soccer with new football. I can't imagine it would be about the money. I really can't, given the careers they've had. But the heritage and the links between the Italian community and the spin-offs that could come from that, I suppose, are the real attractions and the challenge of coming out for one game. And, you know, these players, surely they can't make a difference, that big a difference for a one-off game when they probably would have
had
one or two
sessions. They've
ordered
the crowd and the interest in it, though.
That's it. Yeah. And that's the key, Ray, is the marketing aspect of it. And filling out, imagine filling out Leichhardt Oval. Because Francesco Totti is making a one only.
If you're of Italian heritage and you didn't go to that game, you'd be left out of the family.
Exactly.
That's it.
Good point.
You wouldn't be invited to Christmas.
Imagine how many fans will turn up in Socceroos jerseys just to pelt him with eggs.
Lucas Neal. Yeah, absolutely.
Hey,
absolutely.
Phil, we found out where Usain Bolt went. He's gone zero gravity around the world with champagne or something in some French ad. When's he back? What's the latest?
Ray, I can't help but put my coach's cap on for this one. If I'm Mike Mulvey and I'm watching that footage of him doing somersaults over the finish line mid-air when he's sprinting, above France somewhere in an Airbus, I'm filthy because he's trying to rebuild his body into a footballer's body. They're 2 or 3 weeks into the project. He's taken off, flown to France to do a champagne ad. And putting his body at risk of injury, and not to mention the disruption that causes to your pre-season. He played 20 minutes off the bench, then he disappears.
This was a prior commitment, though, wasn't it, Phil?
Yeah, of course. But he turned up and said, "I don't want any special treatment."
No,
and he's got it.
And he's got it because if another player turns around and says, "Oh, by the way, my missus wants to get married during pre-season," do you think he's getting the green light?
No,
not a chance.
Yeah, but what does he run the 100 in?
9.58. Wasn't the crowd 9,588 or something?
Please, fantastic. Hey, Phil. Sorry, mate. We've got to fly. Have you got anything pertinent? Quickly?
No, nothing. Just getting used to this chair again, Jimmy.
All right, fair enough.
Thanks for having me, boys.